please, to our Old Testament reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Sorry, 2 Chronicles chapter 12. Second Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of Rehoboam, Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord. With 1,200 chariots and 70,000 horsemen, and the people were without number that came with him out of Egypt, the Lubims, the Sukims, and the Ethiopians. And he took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah and came to Jerusalem. Then came Shemaiah the prophet to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, ye have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, The Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, They have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the king and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them and brought them again into the guard chamber. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether. He would not destroy him, and also in Judah things went well. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Now the acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah the prophet and of Iddo the seer concerning genealogies? And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, and Abijah, his son, reigned in his stead. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, so we have watched this tale unfold with regard to Jeroboam and Rehoboam. We saw the kingdom divided. We see Jeroboam sending his tax collector up to Israel as if nothing had happened. And of course, he is stoned with stones, and Rehoboam flees in haste. We then have seen Rehoboam girding on his harness, as it were, to go and bring the kingdom of Israel back to Judah, and the Lord telling him, no, don't do that. This thing is of me. He will have his 10 tribes, and you will have your 2. And so Rehoboam doesn't. He stops from going forward. Instead, he wisely redirects that energy to his own kingdom. And so he fortifies cities, makes sure he has a good army. He's just lost well over half of his army when the northern tribes departed. So to protect himself perhaps from them or from perhaps other nations, what does he do? He fortifies himself. And so in chapter 11, we saw last week that there were some good things all the way down through verse 17. But then in verses 18 through 23, we saw the signs of apostasy, didn't we? And now in chapter 12, this apostasy comes to full term. So when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. By all Israel, what the Lord means there is the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and suddenly there is not much difference between the north and the south. Well, this speaks to us about leadership, doesn't it? It speaks to us about the leaders of our nation and how we ought to be in prayer for them, that they would be upright men, worshipers of the true God, that they would not worship power or military might. And as we have flexed our muscle once again this last week, I remind you that we ought to be in prayer for our leaders that they would not do such wickedness. We prayed last week, did we not? That we as a country would learn to respect other nations' sovereign borders. Well, the Lord has seen fit that we did not do that this last week, and so we must redouble our efforts in prayer that we would learn to walk uprightly as a nation and remember that the Lord deals with nations as moral persons themselves. Okay, so we have the wickedness of the leader, all the nation follows, and so the Lord stirs up a destroyer, a man by the name of Shishak, Pharaoh of Egypt. And so in he comes, and notice he comes with 1,200 chariots, 70,000, that's 60,000 horsemen, and then people that were without number that came on foot out of the Lubim, the Sukkim, and the Ethiopians. So all of that section of northeastern Africa came after Jerusalem. But notice the kindness of the Lord in that not only did he stir up Shishak that the people of Judah might repent, but also he sent a prophet to them telling them why they were going to suffer under the hand of Shishak, because they had forsaken the Lord. So I've left you in the hand of Shishak. That's verse 5. Well, Shishak came and took all their defensed cities. All of that work that Rehoboam had laid down in defense of his nation went up in smoke in a very short time. Why? Because there is no defense that will stand apart from faithfulness in the Lord. And it doesn't really matter how many nukes you have. So the princes of Israel and the king then humbled themselves and they said, "The Lord is righteous." Well, the Lord, who knows the end from the beginning, knew what it would take to get Rehoboam and the princes to repent. So he stirred up Shishak. And so, as the Lord would know in advance, what happened? They said, "The Lord, he is righteous." And so what does the Lord say? "And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah saying, 'They have humbled themselves, I will not destroy them. I will grant them some deliverance.'" Notice that the method for deliverance is not, we need more soldiers. We need more weapons. They came to us with 60,000 chariots and horsemen. Let's bring, 12,000 chariots and 60,000 horsemen. 1,200 chariots and 60,000 horsemen. Well, let's come with 2,400 chariots and 120,000 horsemen. Beloved, we can throw armaments at it all we want, and it will never avail if we do not call upon the name of the Lord and repent of our sins. Well, they repented, and so the Lord said, "Okay, I will not destroy them by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants." They shall be his servants. There are times, beloved, when this is the best thing for us, to come under some tight control, to remember how we go astray when we're left at greater liberty. Children, young men especially, you may think that the controls that your parents exercise over you are unjust. You may think that they are too restrictive. Well, I can tell you the gauge of that, whether or not they are too restrictive. If you abide by them, they are not too restrictive. If you break them, they're not yet restrictive enough. This is the way of the Lord. So, learn to flourish under good government, lest a greater government must be devolved upon you. And we see this pattern in Scripture over and over again. Okay, so then we move on from there. So what does Shishak do? He does what all kings do that have a land under tribute. He says, well, tell me what you got. Oh, you have some shields of gold. Won't they look nice in my palace? As a trophy, and just because they're pretty. So he takes them. Rehoboam says, I know what I can do. I'll make shields of brass instead. And we'll put them there instead. And then every time I go in, they can bring those brass shields out and I can see them. Well, I'd like to have the benefit of the doubt for Rehoboam, that he would remember, I had to make those shields of brass because I had sinned against the Lord. And that he might use it properly as a remembrance of his former sins and not as a, let's return to the status quo. There are times when we cannot come back from something. We will not have a return to the status quo because that would not be good for us. And so the Lord takes the status quo away and brings us under some deprivation or, as we said, more rigorous government. All right, so then we come to verse 12, and let us remember this. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether. And also in Judah, things went well. So again, we're instructed there to pray for our leaders, that they will repent, that they will humble themselves, that it may be well with the nations that they govern. All right, so then we move to the end of the chapter. We see how long he reigned. He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. The word for prepared there might be to fix upon. He did not fix his heart upon the Lord. He did not prepare it to serve the Lord. He believed that he was under his own recognizance in his kingdom. And so that is why he suffered as he did. All right, so then we have the rest of the acts of Rehoboam. Are they not written in the book of Shemaiah the prophet and of Iddo the seer concerning genealogies? We don't know that we have the remnants of those books. I'm of the suspicion, and it's only a suspicion, that's all I could tell you, is that we have remnants of those books in 1 Kings and in 2 Chronicles. We have the remnants of those. And so Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. That's a good thing that he was buried in the city of David. And his son Abijah, who in 1 Kings 14 is called Abijam, reigned in his stead. And we'll hear about him in the next chapter reading, Lord willing, this afternoon. Let's stand and continue praising God.